This is Pittsburgh Explainer, a podcast from 90.5 WESA. Every Friday, we help you understand some of the most important news stories from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, April 3rd. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed. April 30th. That's the earliest we can expect life to start to go back to normal as the coronavirus pandemic continues on. Governor Tom Wolf has extended his stay-at-home order and expanded it to include the entire state of Pennsylvania.
Regardless of where you reside in Pennsylvania, you should not leave your home unless absolutely necessary.
But of course, most people can't stay at home all the time. Even people who work from home or aren't working at all still need to go out to buy groceries and pick up medications. And then there are the essential workers like healthcare providers, grocery store clerks, and bus drivers. Because it's not possible to completely isolate ourselves from each other, a new debate has emerged: to mask or not to mask. The official guidance from the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is that people should only wear masks if they're sick or caring for someone who's sick. The logic goes that only N95 respirators are proven to protect against coronavirus transmission because they fit snugly around the face and filter out air particles, and that those masks should be reserved for healthcare workers. But that guidance is now under review, and a growing international movement is urging everyone to wear masks anytime they go out in public. On Sunday, Republican Senator Pat Toomey became the first member of Congress to endorse the Masks for All movement.
Let me be clear. I'm not talking about the high-quality, surgical-quality masks that we need to save for healthcare professionals. For the rest of us, just a homemade mask. A homemade mask or even just a bandana.
As Allegheny County Health Director Dr. Deborah Bogan pointed out during a press conference this week, mask wearing is commonplace and even required in some parts of the world. Austria, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic now require people to wear masks when out in public.
But people there have a saying, "My mask protects you and your mask protects me." That is what I want you to remember. If you decide to wear a mask in public, it's not about protecting you. Rather, it's really to protect the others if you unknowingly have the virus but aren't aware of it.
One of the concerns around widespread mask wearing is that people might think of it as a reason to let up on other mitigation measures like hand washing, sanitizing surfaces, and staying home as much as possible. And that last one, staying home, scientists still say that's our best bet for fighting this pandemic.
Liz.
Hi, Sarah. How's it going?
Oh, it's fine. Just in my closet.
In your closet to get that studio quality sound.
Yeah.
How is your social isolation going?
You know, it's gotten a lot easier. I really kind of like working from home, it turns out. I feel really productive. And as a healthcare reporter, I'm very busy right now, so it kind of takes my mind off a lot of things. My name is Sarah Bowden, and I cover health and science for WESA News.
So now we're looking at a stay-at-home order from Governor Tom Wolf until at least April 30th. What's the logic behind that?
Well, I think part of the logic is that it seems that social distancing, to a point, is working, even though we're seeing new cases all the time. We know from statistical modeling that it would be significantly worse if we weren't doing social distancing.
Can you give me like a sense of how much worse?
So I was told by a University of Pittsburgh researcher that if we weren't practicing any social distancing, there would be tens of thousands of cases requiring hospitalization in Western Pennsylvania right now, just Western Pennsylvania alone. And that's based on statistical modeling at the University of Pittsburgh at the Public Health Dynamics Laboratory. So even though there are people hospitalized, it could be so much worse. And so we have to continue the social isolation, the social distancing, to continue to suppress the spread of coronavirus.
Okay, so it sounds like we do have some evidence that social distancing is working here in southwestern Pennsylvania. But does that necessarily mean that we're flattening the curve, so to speak?
We don't know yet. Allegheny County had its first cases less than a month ago. The data that we have, knowing how much the rate of growth of new cases is, it's very limited. And so while some things look promising, it's just so new and this virus is so novel that it would be irresponsible for anyone to say that we know whether or not the curve is flattening, because again, everything is just so new.
And I know health officials, State Health Secretary Rachel Levine has asked daily, are we flattening the curve? Whenever county health officials do a press conference, they're asked, are we flattening the curve? And they really haven't gone so far as to say that yet.
Yeah, exactly. They're saying that they're seeing some positive numbers, but they're saying it's way too soon. And they also say that if we let up on social isolation, if we allow businesses and restaurants and childcare centers and schools to open, it's almost certain that the virus will start spreading very rapidly. So right now, social isolation is our best tool for keeping coronavirus under control.
Okay, so we're looking at social distancing measures and, you know, pretty strong restrictions on where you can go and what you can do until at least April 30th. Do we have any sense of what the lifting of these restrictions might look like later on this spring or into the summer?
I'm guessing it will be a transition, but we don't know. We don't know when that will happen. We don't know what it will look like. I really doubt it will be, okay, everything's back to normal. It'll probably be a steady lifting of restrictions.
Anything else that you're reporting on this week that we should talk about?
Yeah, so Allegheny County announced on Tuesday that the David L. Lawrence Convention Center would be used as, I guess, a field hospital for patients that need to be hospitalized but less acute care in the event that there is a dramatic surge in Allegheny County that totally overwhelms local health systems and makes it so, you know, there's literally not enough space in local hospitals to care for everybody.
Do we have any sense of, like, how likely we are to need that convention center space?
No, we really don't. The general sense I get from medical folks and public health experts is that Allegheny County and the state of Pennsylvania is doing a relatively good job when it comes to putting policies in place to respond to coronavirus and COVID-19. And generally the sense is that Ohio to our west is also doing a pretty good job. The thing is that our borders are porous. There's a huge, huge outbreak in New York, which also borders Pennsylvania. While things might seem under control now, we don't know what the coming weeks will bring.
Well, Sarah, thanks so much for your reporting this week.
Thanks, Liz.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
It's time for a quick break. Stay with us.
Want more local news but don't have the time or, frankly, the desire to comb through all the headlines? Let us do it for you. Sign up for our daily newsletter, Inbox Edition, and get the stories you need to start your day delivered right to your inbox. Sign up at wesa.fm/inbox edition.
Hello?
Hey, Lucy, it's Liz.
Hey, Liz, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm at the station right now. You're at home, I presume?
I am at home. I'm in my pillow fort. And I honestly don't even know how long we've been quarantining at this point.
This would be week 3.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, I can keep track of the weeks. The days are a little more fuzzy for me.
Yeah, but it's fine. We will make it. It will be okay. I'm Lucy Perkins. I cover government and accountability.
The sort of slogan from state government for this stay-at-home order is stay home, stay calm, stay safe. But you've actually found that home is not the safest place for some people, right?
Right. I've been reporting on victims of domestic violence and what stay-at-home orders mean for them. I mean, the first really big problem with this for victims of domestic violence is that, you know, if you're stuck at home with your abuser all day, you don't have the privacy of calling a hotline for help or calling a trusted friend or family member to tell them what's going on if you are experiencing domestic violence or domestic abuse, because there's just nowhere to go. You're at home all day. I've talked to a couple different people who run shelters in the region, and they've actually seen calls go down to their hotlines in that first week when Allegheny County's stay-at-home order was in place. because a lot of survivors and a lot of victims would call when their abuser left to go to work, or when they were at work, or when they were at school. And because people just aren't leaving the house, there's not that opportunity to call a shelter, which is a really big challenge. There's no privacy. It's a really hard way for people to be living right now.
Under the governor's stay-at-home order, can people still leave to go to shelters? And if so, can they socially distance in these shelters?
The really important thing to know, and there was a lot of confusion about this in the first week or two, is that shelters are considered an essential business. So they are open and they are available and they're ready to help anyone who needs help. If you make it to a shelter, there are opportunities to social distance. At the Women's Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh, for example, their common areas are big enough to social distance in, so you can maintain that 6-foot distance. And also, you know, I also talked to someone from the Allakiskie Area Hope Center, which also serves Allegheny County, and they reiterated what the women's shelter said, which is, you know, we are sanitizing everything. We're wiping down high-touch areas. We are trying to keep this as clean as possible for you, because that's something that they've heard from victims. You know, they want to come to a shelter, but they're worried that if they leave their home, that they could be exposing themselves to the coronavirus. So they're really trying to take every precaution to keep everyone safe who does make it to a shelter.
Yeah, I mean, what a terrifying calculus some people might have to make. Like, do I stay home and risk more violence, or do I go to a shelter and risk greater exposure to this virus?
Exactly. It's a really hard calculus to make if you're able to make it. I mean, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier about the call volumes to hotlines went down initially because people couldn't find that privacy. So shelters are trying to make it easier for victims to reach out. You know, you can text or call or email or Facebook message. What they do really want everyone to know is that, you know, if you are reaching out in that way, make sure if you send an email to the shelter that you delete that message from your sent folder and then delete it from your deleted folder, just because you really want to wipe any sort of record of your call to them, because abusers often are tracking communication. And obviously, that's a much easier thing to do if you are all in the same house all the time.
Now, court activity in Pennsylvania has been greatly drawn down. Can people still get protection from abuse orders?
Yes, that is something that the court system is prioritizing. You can still go to court, and in Allegheny County, you can do that from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. when the courts are open during the week. And you can go and file a petition for a protection from abuse order. A good thing to know if you do that is it will take like 1 or 2 hours. You have to go in person, but you'll be talking to lawyers on the phone and you'll be video conferencing a judge in order to get that temporary protection from abuse order. And usually those temporary protection from abuse orders last about 2 weeks. But because the courts are largely closed down, if you get a temporary order, that will be good. That will be valid until the courts are operating normally again.
What kind of resources are there here locally for people who are experiencing domestic violence or abuse and are thinking about leaving their home because it's not safe?
So there are resources in the county. There are a handful of shelters here that are ready and willing to help anyone who calls, whether that's coming up with a safety plan or figuring out, you know, if there are trusted family or friends who you can talk to help get out of the situation that you're in. Obviously, you can also go to a shelter or get a protection from abuse order. But the easiest number to call if you need help, if you're able to call, is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That number, when you call it, you'll be directly connected to local hotlines. And so you'll get local resources from wherever you're living. That number is 1-800-799-7233.
Thanks, Lucy, so much for looking into this really important issue.
Thanks, Liz.
All right, talk to you later.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
It's time for another break. We'll be right back.
We crave connections. It's human nature to want to know what's happening in your community, in the news, and with each other. Wherever you are, whatever's happening, tune to 90.5 WESA or ask your smart speaker to play NPR.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. It's Liz.
Hi, Liz.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm here in my back bedroom, my home in Philadelphia, where I built a little fort-like studio covered in blankets and towels and pillows.
Yes, there are like hundreds of these makeshift studios in the homes of public radio reporters across the country.
Right. I'm Susan Phillips. I cover energy and the environment for WHYY and State Impact Pennsylvania.
So I want to ask you, what is Philadelphia like? Because you guys have a lot more cases than Pittsburgh does, and you were under a stay-at-home order before we were. What are things like there?
You know, it's funny because I'm working from home. So in many respects, all I know is my immediate neighborhood. And when I go out, there's a fair amount of people just out walking. I live right near the river, the Schuylkill River, where there's a trail. And I've been trying to stay away from it because when I go down there, it just seems like a lot of people. You know, it's a little weird, just like I think what everyone in the country or in the state is experiencing. It's just really weird.
So the Environmental Protection Agency last week issued a temporary policy that basically relaxes rules for polluters because of the coronavirus pandemic. What does this temporary policy say?
Yeah, so what the EPA said was that they are not going to be enforcing or implementing any kind of fines for anyone who is not in compliance with routine monitoring and reporting, if it is as a result of the coronavirus, the new coronavirus pandemic. One of the things that they've also said is this is not a license to pollute, but that was pretty much only after they got a lot of pushback. The way the environmental regulatory system works is it really relies upon self-reporting. And that's something that companies have to do to comply with things like the Clean Air Act or the Clean Water Act or the Safe Drinking Water Act. It really is a lot of self-reporting and self-monitoring. How will the EPA even know that they didn't report things? I mean, what the EPA is saying is they would have to document why they didn't report things and document and tell them why it was related to COVID-19. And then the EPA would decide whether that was an excuse or not. But it sort of begs the question, well, how would the EPA even know if they didn't document something? So it's caused a lot of confusion and a lot of consternation, as you can imagine, among the public and among environmentalists who are worried, given the track record of the EPA under the Trump administration. And, you know, the Trump administration so far has rolled back about 100 different, you know, rules and regulations. So people are not, they don't trust the EPA under Trump, under Andrew Wheeler, who is the EPA administrator. It really begs the question whether the EPA is, or whether the Trump administration is sort of using this COVID-19 crisis as an excuse to further roll back environmental oversight.
I know here in Allegheny County, it's the health department and not the EPA that monitors air pollution and enforces certain other environmental standards. And in many parts of the state, it's the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. So what effect will the EPA's temporary rule actually have here?
That's a good question, because it is true. Most of the federal regulations are enforced by local governments, whether that's Allegheny County, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, or in the case of air pollution in Philadelphia, that's part of the Public Health Department here in Philadelphia. So each one has, you know, is taking a different tact on this. I know in Allegheny County, the health department put out a statement saying that they will not change anything regarding how they oversee pollution events or facilities that pollute. The Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection has said that they're going to do it on a case-by-case basis if a facility that is still operating asks them for a waiver of these kind of, you know, non-compliance with routine monitoring and reporting. It's just important to note that routine, you know, is important because that's how people find out what was released into the air or what was released into the waterways. Now, the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection says that one of the reasons why they wouldn't be able to respond to, you know, certain incidents right now, right away, is because of the social distancing, that it makes it more difficult and they want to keep their employees safe as well. So there is a balancing act there, I suppose. So on Wednesday, a coalition of environmental groups did write a letter to Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection asking them to clarify the policy and make it clear that even if a company can ask the DEP for a waiver during this time, that the DEP should forcefully say that they expect everybody to continue to comply with the regulations. And it does beg the question, you know, in Philadelphia, one of the things that I was told was that, well, a lot of the large polluters are now shut down, but we know that the Wolf administration also has given waivers to a number of companies to continue work, say, for instance, the Mariner East Pipeline Project. So if the companies can still do their work, well, why can't they still do the monitoring and the reporting? So it's just raised a lot of questions amongst people and made a lot of people suspicious, especially given how hostile the Trump administration is and has been towards environmental regulations.
Well, Susan, thanks so much for your time and keeping tabs on this issue.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
March 17th. That was the last day Pennsylvania's state-owned fine wine and good spirit stores were open. But this week, the state announced it would begin offering sales of alcohol online for delivery. People can order up to 6 bottles of wine or liquor per day per address. The site went live on Wednesday and promptly crashed due to the amount of traffic it received. That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Larkin Page Jacobs is our managing editor. You can find all of WESA's news coverage at our website, WESA.fm, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.